National championships, 27 SEC titles, 131 first-team All-Americans, 70 postseason appearances, 39 postseason victories. This is Alabama football. And this is Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tradition, the past, present, future, the Alabama Crimson Tide, 17 national titles, 27 SEC titles. When you talk about being ranked number one for 13 consecutive years, Nick Saban has been able to do that, and Alabama takes that number one ranking into a game. How about that? Kentucky comes in as a 30.5-point underdog inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. We welcome in Martin Houston. Martin, I hope you've had a great day. Welcome into Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I've had an absolute great day, Ryan. It's a day that the Lord has made, so I'm so excited to be here.
You like cold weather?
No. Mm-mm. Not big cold weather.
Are you really not? You don't like?
No. I don't like the hot either. don't get me wrong. I mean, this is not too cold, but, you know, especially for November.
Hey, it was fireplace season at the house last night.
Are with that fireplace probably like the people are with their Christmas trees. You know, Christmas trees going up. It's not Thanksgiving yet.
So I don't know if you heard the story, but you know, there's a damper on a fireplace, and if you don't open it,
yeah,
it gets a little smoky.
Yes,
and I lit a fire. You know, me being a you know, I think I made.
You're talking about you've lit a fire this year.
Yeah, last night. I mean, I'm a professional Cub Scout. I mean, I made it through about 2 years of Boy Scouts. I couldn't tie them darn knots, man. They had so many knots. I didn't make it too many years in Boy Scouts, but I did learn how to build a fire. I built this fire, and I realized, I forgot to open the damper.
Uh-oh.
And I had to take that leather glove, and I had to go into that, you know, that fire almost and get that damper open. I was about 10 seconds away from a disaster.
You're going to have to throw water on it.
Yeah, that was my only option. I do have a fire extinguisher, but, so, you know, that's kind of like.
Hey, Ryan, you know, listen, watch this transition.
Okay.
Did LSU cancellation, did that throw. Was that like throwing water on the?
What a segue! But I was going to make fun of it. I was going to say, now the northern people, they're much more experienced than us southern folks are about lighting fires, you know. But we know a lot more about championships than those guys up there.
Absolutely. So
Mac Jones, Martin, will we look back at this game or the lack thereof and say that that's what will cause Mac Jones a chance to win a Heisman Trophy? Let's say that we'll look back, you know, 5 weeks from now. Will we look back if he loses? I'm not saying he's going to lose. I think he can, you know, rebound. But he didn't have the eyes on him Saturday night, and that would have been perfect following the Masters on CBS to get those eyes on him. And you look at the Mac Jones, do you feel like that would hurt him if he doesn't win it?
Well, it was kind of a double whammy, Ryan. It was the fact that he wasn't playing. But the guy who people are comparing him to, no one's comparing him to Trevor Lawrence. No one's comparing him to Justin Fields. Everyone is comparing him to Trask, and we're beginning to say, well, if Mac Jones is in it, why isn't Trask in it? And so the whammy, it was a double whammy of him not playing and no one seeing his eyes. And then not only was Trask playing, Ryan, of those guys I just mentioned, he was the only one playing.
Sure.
And he lit it up. I mean, he played extremely well. And some people say, well, that was against an Arkansas team. And, you know, I don't care who you're going against. When you throw five touchdowns in the first half and then you turn around and that's your, what, sixth consecutive game where you've thrown four or more touchdowns, you set a record that Tua had for most touchdowns in the first six games of a season was 27. And then the announcers point out, oh, yeah, by the way, he did this against all SEC competition. So, you know, so he's doing some really special things while Mac was sitting at home. So I think it hurt Mac, but I think if Mac comes out against a Kentucky defense that has proven to be a pretty good defense, second-ranked defense in the pass defense in the SEC, I think he can get right back into that spot.
So Mac Jones can take the authoritative approach, but, you know, Martin, I think I look at it from a Heisman perspective when you look at trying to get that. I know Alabama's never been one of those that focused on. I mean, I think we should have more than just two Heisman Trophy winners. If you look at it, you've got Mark Ingram, you've got Derrick Henry. But let's take a look. And Nick Saban, please turn off the radio. If you're listening, and I know you have the Tide 100.9 app on your smartphone and, you know, you got all the great, you know, connections, but we'd ask that you turn it off at this time because what we're about to talk about might irritate you a little bit. But let's look ahead. Let's say that Alabama continues on this path. Florida continues on this path. Let's say that Mac Jones and Kyle Trask is at the top, that Trevor Lawrence doesn't get back in it from that standpoint. Could it literally go down to the SEC championship game? Because we love winners and the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, you know what will be interesting, Ryan, is I think that is a collision that is going to happen one way or the other. And I think both of those guys will ultimately, if they continue to play, will be in the finalists. You know, it seems that there's a contingency out there that wants to give it to Justin Fields just because Justin Fields playing. And even though he's playing well. But you cannot overlook the season that these two guys are having. And if they both lead their teams to a championship in the SEC, 10 straight games with one or fewer losses, and then they go head-to-head. And I hope that voters will wait this year. I really hope voters will wait this year till the season plays out, especially since it's such a crazy COVID-19 kind of world. And if I think that if voters wait, Ryan, and send the votes in after that, I think you just nailed it. It will come down to those two in that game.
And if you look at the Big Ten, it is an absolute dumpster fire. I mean, you look at it. I mean, we're, you know, Indiana's undefeated. Well, they're undefeated. They're a pretty good-looking football team. But when you back up a couple of minutes, there somebody's got to be with a win-loss record. I mean, somebody's got to be at the top. So Indiana did go to East Lansing and get Michigan State, but they traveled to Columbus, Ohio this weekend. I guess when you look at Ohio State's schedule, I don't know it by heart, but when you look at the Buckeyes, Indiana this weekend, the Illini next weekend from Champaign, Michigan State, and then Michigan.
I think Indiana has more wins than the remaining.
I think you're dead on it.
Yeah, I don't think.
And looking at the three that
above that. Oh, they may have as many wins as the one.
Penn
two,
State has nothing. Rutgers, yeah.
And then Maryland. Three. Maryland wow. Doesn't count.
Yeah, right.
So they Indiana may have. We need to get the guys in the booth over there to count the wins, Ryan. But I'm thinking it's close to. Indiana potentially has as many wins as everybody on. That
so,
is sad.
I mean, you look at this Buckeye schedule, but Martin, I think the one thing. I mean, you study leadership. You've always understood what it takes to be a leader, and sometimes you develop leadership in adverse time. When you back up and you take a look at this COVID virus, managing everything to intertwine with this, setting out suspended. You know, trying to manage this game, and all the different things. We've got a lot of distractions. When you take a look at this leadership, you're kind of identifying coaches that struggle with certain things, and you're finding out coaches that maybe are better than what we thought at managing situations out of their control.
Yeah, it's definitely an opportunity for some different skill sets to be employed as far as the football season is concerned. And some of these guys have shown the inability to do just that. And I think Jim Harbaugh being one of the worst, Ryan, when you look at what he has going there, they are a complete disaster. And it shows that maybe because you didn't have all the hype train and all of that hype stuff and you really had to lead and keep these guys engaged. And I think that's the biggest thing, Ryan. You have to keep these guys engaged and get buy-in. And this generation, even though they may have some weaknesses, one of the things that they are really good at is finding out if you're authentic and really concerned about them and care about them. And I think you're seeing some coaches suffer from not being authentic with their players.
That's Martin Houston. I'm Ryan Fowler. Josh and Bryant behind the scenes. We're going to get things started. We're going to get things into the conversation. We've got Nick Saban audio. We've got Mark Stoops audio. We've got things to get to, a lot of conversations. But if you want to be a part of the conversation, there's a couple of different ways. You can tweet at us, which is maybe the second least favorite, but we prefer the old-fashioned way. Pick up the telephone and be a part of conversation, and you can do that at 205-342-9904. We call this talk radio. It's a two-way street, not a one-way street. We like to get feedback, communicate with the Alabama fans. You could also tweet at us, at MartHouston35, if you can't pick up the telephone, and we get it, at MartHouston35, at Ryan C. Fowler. Connect with us there. We're talking more Alabama Crimson Tide football. Mark Stoops talks about Mac Jones. 3 minutes right here on Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide. The pharmacy at Midtown, locally owned and operated by TJ Thomas. We offer retail as well as custom compounding medications. Great customer service. The longest running privately owned independent pharmacy in Tuscaloosa, located in Midtown Village. If you go to the back of Midtown Village, second floor, right there close to the bookstore, playground, close to the elevator. It's the pharmacy at Midtown, contracted with most insurance carriers, state-of-the-art compounding facility, the only sterile compounding pharmacy in Tuscaloosa County. Medication therapy management offered, multi-dose packaging available for assisted living or patients living at home who take numerous medications. The Pharmacy at Midtown with TJ Thomas.
You are listening to Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler. Your connection to Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama Athletics on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town. About the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you want to go.
All right, we got Mark Stoops talking about Mac Jones. When you listen back at Mark Stoops, he's recruited Mac Jones out of Bowles High School in Jacksonville, Florida. Mark Stoops said this about that starting quarterback. When you listen back at Mark Stoops talking about Mac Jones, this is what the head coach at Kentucky had to say.
Without a doubt, we did recognize Matt early on in the process, and Coach Henshaw and all of us watched him early, you know, and we were impressed. We felt like there was a bright future for him, and he's certainly proven us right. I wish he was here, but we still really love Matt and his family, a great young man, and it's really good to see him doing so well and playing at such a high level. He's been so accurate. I wish he was here, but happy for Mac.
You look at Mac Jones. We spent a lot of time talking about him, but we talk about rest versus rust. Is the rest better than, you get healthy when you talk about the 6-game stretch for Alabama, but then you back up a couple of minutes. You expect this team will show some rust against the Kentucky Wildcats. Martin Houston going into game number 7. Alabama 6-0, but it will be 21 days since they last played their game.
It could be a little bit of rust. I think that you'll see them get past that pretty quick. We had a similar situation in our high school, and we actually played one of our better games. I think defense mentally will maybe sharper after the first drive or so, Ryan, because they had a chance to go back and do some self-scouting and get some things worked out. And they were playing at a high level when it ended, but they just put that to – well, I say just put in. We just saw the zone. It'll be interesting to see if they continue to employ that as part of the defensive strategy. I hope so, especially since we're playing a running quarterback.
So Martin, when you back up a couple of minutes, you got to try to find a way to get things fixed yourself. But on the defensive side of the football, we're kind of watching something. And I look back at teams that are struggling right now. Not all, but a lot of those guys have defensive-minded head coaches. You know, when I look at Kirby Smart, or we want to talk about Muschamp getting fired on Sunday night, but there's other examples. You've got offensive coaches. Jim Harbaugh would be an outlier in this conversation. Mike Leach is an offensive guy. He's struggling. But there seems to be a lot of defensive-minded coaches struggling. Is that because they're not willing to give enough to their offensive flexibility?
I think it's twofold. I think some of it is, you know, the lack of evolution in terms of the offensive side and what they're able to produce, Ryan. But I also think it's part of it is you have to play defense differently in this age too. And Saban, you know, I was interested to see would he change and play zone against Mississippi State, because LSU refused to, and we saw what happened. And these offenses have changed, and they've learned how to play against these man press, you know, defenses. And the guys you're talking about, specifically Muschamp and Kirby, where they come from, you know? I mean, you have to look at, and that's one thing, as much as Saban evolved and changed on the offensive side, has he been reluctant to modify the defensive side?
Yes, he has.
And has it hurt us some?
Probably so.
Yeah. So
so you look at Muschamp, anything when you look at Muschamp, he coached with him at LSU. He was a part of that 2003 national championship game there with you know, in LSU. He went to, I mean, it shows you the relationship. Nick Saban goes to the NFL. Muschamp goes with Nick Saban to the NFL. Then he goes to Texas. He was that coach in waiting type terminology. Actually, I think he went to Auburn. Then he went to the coach in waiting there in Texas, 2008, 2011. He coached against Nick Saban on the 2009 national championship game. But you look at a guy like Muschamp, who now has a extremely large buyout. Could we see him back in Tuscaloosa? I mean, does he come to the coaching rehab program?
Well, I put a poll question up on that Martin Houston 3-5 asking that question, and I thought some of the responses were interesting, Ryan. Some thought, well, he doesn't have that same type of relationship with Saban that he once had because Saban overlooked him, you know, for that championship game. I mean, the defensive coordinator down at Miami. But I still think that it's a very, very high possibility.
And you want to hitch your wagon to Nick Saban.
Right. And the only question that they brought up, and I thought it was pretty interesting, Ryan, the percentage-wise, it was 59% said yes, 33% said no, 8% said only if he's the DC, if he gets the defensive coordinator job. Others thought that he may not end up here because he will end up with Kirby in Georgia in the same program. You know, Kirby copies everything, so but you know he's going to have to do that.
But Martin, and I agree with those, but let's just analyze it here for just a minute, okay? When you look at Muschamp, I don't think he can be a part of a program that goes down. And here's what I'm saying, because he's been fired now times two, Florida and South Carolina. Let's go to Kirby Smart here for just a minute. Because I buy that he could be in some issues. I look at George, and I'm not saying they're going to fire him, but that seat could become very uncomfortable. He mismanaged that quarterback room, and you and I have talked about it multiple times when you go to Kirby Smart. And if you're a dog fan, you got to sit there and you ask your question. Florida's now coming. Dan Mullen's got that program clicking. When you look at it, think about if you're an offensive-minded player, you're a wide receiver, you're a running back. I don't think I would even look at the Dogs.
Running backs may, but that's all they have.
So, but
when it comes to having the skill set, you're looking at the quarterback room, what excites you about next year?
Nothing.
I mean, so you may even see some guys jump in the portal on that. Yes, he's totally mismanaged it. And then I think not only did he mismanage it to begin with, He's mismanaged it moving throughout the season. So
totally
it's going to magnify it.
So you look, and I think Georgia can win out. They've got Mississippi State this upcoming weekend. Then they go to South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and then they end up with a bowl game. But you've got the blemish there. But if you're a dog fan, you're sitting there going, well, we had Nick Saban against the ropes. I mean, we had Nick Saban against the ropes. I mean, we had him
three times in a row.
Yeah, and let him off.
Three times in a row.
So at what point do you kind of convince yourself that this guy is headed – he can recruit. That's really the only thing different between him and Mark Richt. They're the same program.
Listen, I've said it before. Until he gets past Nick Saban, he's only done – I mean, Mark Richt – someone was saying that someone was better than Mark Richt. I can't remember where it was. And I said, no, they're not. They put Harbaugh in the same boat with Mark Richt. And I said – Mark Richt would have two national championships and still probably be the coach at Georgia if there was no Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa.
So, to go back to what you look at with UGA, and I'm not here to put Kirby Smart on the hot list. I'm just saying that seat becomes warmer. It becomes like you go into 2021 going, it's now prove it time. Show me, and you got to do that, as you said, without a quarterback room.
Well, here's the big question, Ryan. What quarterback is Kirby after that Mullins may be after? And then where's that guy going to go with Mullins getting the credit of being a quarterback whisperer?
Sure.
So if they have a duel, I don't know if they do or not, over a quarterback. And like you said, here's the thing. Kirby is potentially his own worst enemy, meaning that he had good recruiting, which that's what Nick Saban is, the backbone of your program. And he brought in good coaches, and then they had success immediately on the field, got to where they wanted to get to immediately, Ryan, but did not finish the job. You go back and look at what he's done in the first half against Alabama in three games, it is eye-opening. But the second half is equally as bad. And so no matter what lead he gets in the first half, he can't get such a lead in the first half that he can win the second half. And the expectations now of Georgia have been raised. So once the expectations are raised, Ryan, hot seats become different. They have different meanings. Is Georgia going to get to the point where he needs to win a national title in by a certain time, or they're going to be in the same boat they were with Mark Richt? Every year you're going, well, who do we get? Is he going to stay? And all that does is hurt your recruiting, so you never get over the hump.
Well, and I just don't think that Kirby Smart is an elite football coach, because when I look at games that he gets beat, it's usually a coaching mistake of making a poor decision. And I think that's when you have that relationship with Nick Saban. I thought at times he was grasping, you know, wanting to see, you know, hey, is Nick Saban, you know, when you look at over his shoulder, is Nick Saban there to try to, you know, make that decision for him, because he's got beat with some very critical decisions. Even going back to his first loss, his first season against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
It got him beat.
Yeah, he totally has made – there's obvious coaching decisions, strategy, or et cetera, that he's done. Even this year, in the second half, I think they said Georgia ran the ball. After we went up, after the 90-yard touchdown by Waddle, I think Georgia ran the ball three times. How do you make that decision when your quarterback is your weakest point anyway? So you it looked like you would have leaned in on a running game versus backing away, and then we know what he's done in the other years in terms of fake punts and stuff like that.
And so this is a big circle back to what we're talking about. But if you're Muschamp and you're sitting there looking at money, And you're sitting there going, okay, I've got plenty of money. I got a big buyout. Florida's still paying me. Now South Carolina is playing. And when you look back at the conversation, when you look at the Muschamp, if you're looking at Georgia, you're going, well, I don't want to get in that territory. If you look at the connection with him and Gus, you're looking at that going, that may not be good either. That may not be in a, you know, a good spot when you look at Gus. So if you look at Muschamp, you say, well, if I go to Tuscaloosa, I can find a way. You know, I know it's longevity. And I just think Muschamp right now cannot afford to get in an area So if you're evaluating the three connections that he has, Kirby Smart, Gus, and Nick Saban, I think it's a no-brainer that he'll look at Tuscaloosa and say, hey, I'll go there.
And you know another thing that may make him come to Tuscaloosa?
Because he needs head coaching training?
Yeah, but not just because he needs it. Look at what it did for Lane Kiffin. Everybody is looking at Lane Kiffin, and no matter how much Lane Kiffin grew outside of Nick Saban, the way he has matured or appears to have matured and what he's doing at Ole Miss is directly going to be always linked back to Nick Saban. And if he can take that guy and get him to another job, then you know that Muschamp will go, if he can sure. Rehab him. And now you have – but, Ryan, here's the question. Who did Nick Saban recommend for a job when the guys come in? I mean, if Muschamp comes, you will now have, what, five defensive coordinators and four former head coaches on your staff? Or maybe six?
Well, that might be Pete Golding get a job time. It may be, you know.
Yeah, but will his buyout allow him to be the DC, or
well,
is he?
Well, and then do athletic directors see? This is the question that I've got is to kind of circle back around. Do athletic directors in college football look at defensive minded coaches? Like if you're an AD right now, Martin Houston, and your job is to hire a coach that's going to keep you in a job, so you got to hire a guy that you know will help you keep your job. Would you go offense or defense? If you're looking at a coach,
I would most likely go offense with a guy who has shown the ability to have relationships with a defensive guy or a defensive guy who has shown the ability to take his hands off and bring in Briles out, and what's the guy down in Miami?
Diaz?
He was the offensive coordinator at Auburn. Started with an L. What was his name?
Matt Rhule?
No. He was the defense coordinator at Auburn, and then he went to Memphis, and now he's at Miami.
Scott Lashley. Scott Lashley. Okay, yeah, okay. Him. I'm sorry. No, you're good.
Hey, I would have remembered, but COVID.
Dead gum COVID. COVID strikes
still
again.
Foggy. And for anybody that thinks I'm making fun of people with COVID, I had it. So let's go.
Scott Lashley,
that's him.
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? But what did Manny Diaz do? That's what I guarantee you, that's what Miami said. Because he was a defensive guy, right? Manny Diaz was a defensive guy. He brought in from Alabama. And that didn't work, and he immediately – but I think they told him you have to bring in a capable offensive mind that can compliment you. That's the only way I go defense, though.
DeAndre Holt through the break. We'll welcome you into Alabama Tradition coming up in just a couple of minutes. That's Martin Houston. I'm Ryan Fowler. This is Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Alabama Crimson Tide football on Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Into Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide. We're talking about Kentucky. We're mixing in all the offense and defensive things. If you want to jump in, you can do that at 205-342-9904. DeAndre, it's good to talk to you. I hope all is well.
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
Having a great day, well. Man. Great day.
That's good, man. That's good. Sorry I missed the score prediction earlier. You know, man, get caught up with that remote learning. Get off of work and come home and get directly into the remote learning.
It's a busy time, man. It's a busy time. A lot of juggling, a lot of different things. But DeAndre, what's on your mind, my friend?
Man, I'm just excited to watch some Bama football this weekend. Seems like it's been forever since we've seen Alabama play.
What do you expect? Do you expect this team will have some rust, or you think the rest will be beneficial?
I think a little bit of both, but more of the beneficial side. You know, maybe after that first, second drive, you'll see the same Bama team or whatever. I'm still, you know, concerned about, you know, why is this the way the LSU situation went down? Why isn't that getting more, you know, I guess, conversation? I mean, I'm not saying that the guys didn't have, you know, COVID or what have you, but that was a game that I think we all were looking forward to. I know this is the Kentucky week or whatever, and I know next week is Iron Bowl, but I am hoping that's something that a game that we can possibly get played, you know, this year. I mean, have you heard anything about it, or if the game may be rescheduled, or if they're just not going to worry about it?
The only thing that I've heard that is a distinct possibility is Ole Miss and LSU kicking back to the 19th because they will not be relevant to the championship game, and then Alabama and LSU playing on the 5th. I think what they're waiting to see is what happens this weekend, because if Alabama wins this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, Ryan, they secure a spot in the championship game because they would have to lose two games. And Auburn has two losses.
They do.
They have to wait and see what's going to happen there with this weekend with Auburn and before they do it.
So are you saying we could lose the Iron Bowl and still make it to Atlanta?
Yeah, we could.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so then you flip that conversation back around. You win Atlanta, you're in, right?
Oh, you talking about a 9-1 or 8-1 SEC team? Absolutely. Who are you going to have in front of them? I mean,
so why don't we ask Nick Saban? What, coach, you know,
after, why don't you take off the Auburn week?
Man, you talking about a major rant.
Hey, we could set it up like this, DeAndre. We could say, now, coach, mathematically, you're already in the SEC championship game. You know, you could rest your players next week like the NFL does it in that week number 16 or 17. I'd love to see the experience.
Hey, but DeAndre, you know, you were talking about you're not saying they did anything with the numbers if the kids were sick or not. You know that the majority of these games have not been canceled because kids are sick, right?
Yeah, I think it's been because not having the certain players.
No. Certain... Contact tracing. No, I mean,
yeah, that's true. I forgot about contact tracing.
It's only been one or two players, you know, when you keep hearing, oh, my God, it's an outbreak. Well, most of the time it's not an outbreak. And here's the beauty of contact tracing. You can be really, really strict in how you report it. And how you don't.
That's true.
And I believe with the reaction of the SEC office and CBS, I believe they think that LSU went on the strict side a little bit because they're frustrated. The SEC, how could the SEC office be frustrated at LSU and the CBS be frustrated at LSU and they legitimately had sick kids who were exposed? Unless they felt like there could have been maybe some, hey, was this guy around this guy? Yep. Wasn't you around, you know, like the whole.
Sure.
Weren't you around him too? Yep, I was around
him
too.
Shut her down.
Yeah, and so I think there may have been a little bit of that LSU answering the question. Weren't you around him? Didn't you go to his house? Yes, I did. Exposed.
Well,
yeah.
DeAndre, I also think that Coach O, he was not telling the original truth, or he didn't tell it last week as well, because he kept saying, well, he was working on Arkansas, then went to Alabama, then back to Arkansas, and that was only Wednesday morning, so there wasn't that many days to work in all the conversations. So,
and see, that's why I was thinking, you know, what was the initial intention? Did they really have any intention in playing Alabama this year? You had just got your butt kicked severely by Auburn, you know, a couple weeks early, and then to have to come and play Alabama, you know, if you got beat that bad by Auburn, how bad you think you was going to get beat by Alabama? You know, just kind of, you know, calling it for what it is. But it does make sense with the contact tracing and all of that, you know. I think we do forget about that sometimes, that right there does play, you know, a major part in the, you know, decision making when it comes to college football. It's just been a blessing to just have the sport during this season or whatever. And then, you know, the fact that I think the SEC has done a really, really good job at how they have managed it thus, you know, thus far. I think this past weekend was the first time we had these many games canceled at one time, I want to say. Right, since the season has started?
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah, you know. So that's been a good thing. So I'm just hoping that the guys can finish the season healthy, man, and then, you know, everything can just kind of start trending back in the on the normal side. But before I let you go, Ryan, how you think Tua's been doing down there with the Dolphins? We looking okay, right?
Looks pretty good, man. And Martin and I were talking about that yesterday at lunch with Tua Tagovailoa. And, you know, Alabama needs that positive publicity guy. You know, you can put a linebacker in there. You can put a running back. No offense to Martin here. But it's quarterback. I mean, you guys know that. Quarterback gets the love, right? I mean, when you're one of the 32 teams that you've got a starting quarterback, it's a lot of positive publicity. I mean, think about what we've received for Tua in the last couple of weeks of starting. What if he becomes this franchise quarterback and you get that publicity? And,
right,
you know, your quarterback, you're sitting in the high school ranks and you're going, Tua did this in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, it kind of gets you over an image point that you're trying to make.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's crazy is Tua gets that love, the running back, you know, make a statement this weekend, don't forget about us, when seven 100-yard games and four of them were former Alabama running back.
That is gigantic.
So it's like, and then of course you had Ruggs and Judy meeting for the first time, and the week before that you had Ridley and Jones all on the same field. I mean, so every week there's these stories, and we've never had quarterback in our life. Think about, when was the last time Alabama quarterback was even relevant?
In the NFL,
in a conversation, in your lifetime, DeAndre?
No, not in my lifetime.
I mean, Alabama fans have not.
Go back to Jeff Rutledge.
Yes. Yeah, Rutledge.
And I mean, he was just he was a backup, a long time backup.
Yeah,
but he had some
success. Yeah, but that's
Then this weekend you got Jerry Judy is going to be on the field on the other side, you know, the receiver, and you got, you know, because Miami playing Denver this weekend, you know, that's going to be another 3 o'clock CBS game or whatever. So I know Judy is ready to get up out of Denver, man, because he got, man, that guy's awesome, but he don't have anybody to throw him the ball. I'm sorry.
You don't like Drew Luck?
I liked him better at Missouri.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying he can't be a good quarterback. He could be, you know.
When's the last time Denver had a productional quarterback? I mean, Peyton Manning at the end of his career, but you look at Denver, I mean, it's been like quarterbacks go to die or something.
Isn't that typical, though? Look who's trying to get him there. He's probably looking for himself versus looking at the quarterbacks of today.
That's great.
Being John Elway.
Great point.
A lot of times you see guys struggle with that when they're called to be the one that finds that next guy. A lot of times they can't, because they can't get past what they did well, they played the game, versus what's, you know, what the new quarterbacks are and what they look like and what they bring to the table.
Hey, and DeAndre, let me say this before I let you go. Martin was just talking about the running backs, and this is how great the image department is at Alabama. Charles Huff, which is the running back coach at the University of Alabama, he just put up a image from Alabama. It says, Bama, running back you, 4x100. So he's got Josh Jacobs. He's got Kenyon Drake. He's got Derrick Henry. He's got Damian Harris. And even a quote here from Damian saying, playing running back at Alabama is nothing like I've ever experienced. The history, the tradition, playing running back at Alabama has a severity and a seriousness to it, Damian Harris. So you look at that. As Martin was giving you the quote, seven rushers this week in the NFL went over 100 yards. Four of those were from Alabama.
And it's only going to, let me tell you, Ryan, it's only going to get better over the upcoming years. I mean, it's only going to get, we're going to have more and more players that's going to go to the NFL. It's going to be NFL ready. I think Najee Harris is going to have a big career in the NFL too, you know. So that's an awesome stat,
hey,
man.
Hey, good talking to you, DeAndre. Please call again. Thank you, man.
And one more thing, Ryan. That coach that you guys was talking about, Rhett Lashley. That's the guy that y'all was talking about from
And we tried it. Yeah, we said Scott Lashley. Martin and I are getting old. We're
I told you, we got part of it right. I had the AR.
Yeah. You got it right. You got part of it right.
You had the Ashley, and then we gave him. Then we called him Scott. I mean, I'm sure there's a Scott Lashley. Would that be the guy that left here and went to play at Mississippi State?
That's him. That's a good a former offensive that's lineman.
That's the Alabama offense.
Hey, that's right. That's right. He was. So we were close.
We were in the ballpark. Offensive lineman at Mississippi
that's
State.
That's right. That's a great point.
Offensive coordinator to Miami. I mean, come on.
Dead gum COVID. This mask. I'm having to wear this mask. It's cutting off the air, the brain, you know, the circulation, oxygen, man.
I would have got it right, but COVID.
So. I got to get this window open. Thanks to you. All right,
thanks.
Good talking to you guys, man.
We continue with more of Alabama tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
A fine fall afternoon, sunshine and full supply, the high 64. Tonight, clear and cold with the low at 35. We stay dry tomorrow and Thursday, lots of sunshine both days, highs in the low to mid 60s between 62 and 65. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9.
You're listening to Tide 100.9. Are you in the holiday spirit? Check out Tuscaloosa's Home for the Holidays on Nick 97.5. All Christmas songs 24/7.
Alabama-Kentucky, when we talk about this game, you know, you look at Alabama, and I think Nick Saban kind of said it, control what you can control, and I think the system that Nick Saban has implemented over the last 14 years, it's really set up for something like this, because I think that's when other players and other coaches have struggled, is when Nick Saban says control what you can control. The only thing we can do is what's in front of us. We cannot look behind. And I think that Nick Saban process of also working about, it's not about them, it's about us. It's not about that particular team. They really believe if they execute every single play that they're going to win the game. When you look at Kentucky, it's a chance to get better. Martin, when you look at this game, where's the one area that you're going to be focused on early on to know that this Alabama team has taken the last 21 days at that point, and it will be focused on finding a way to win a national title? You know the goal here in Tuscaloosa.
Well, first of all, would be to look at the defensive side of the ball and see where things are in terms of their engagement, their intensity, their mental focus, Ryan. And to see if Saban incorporates some of this zone, because I think that the quarterback's going to want to try to run the ball. I think they're going to try to use that, because everybody says that that's what how you hurt Nick Saban. So I believe that we'll see if that's the case and see if they've taken time to be ready.
But we need to be tested in that area.
Absolutely. I think that's a good thing, because if we end up facing a Justin Fields, you know, and to me, Ryan, these dual-threat quarterbacks, that's partly why these offenses – your DBs and your extra guys are running down the field with their back to the line of scrimmage, and this dual-threat guy is running right behind them, you know, but – if you run a little zone, mixed zone in, and they don't know which one it is, it makes that quarterback a little less timid to just take off immediately. From the offensive side of the ball, I think our passing game is going to be what it is. I think this could be Najee Harris's biggest game. They have a great secondary. I think we'll – actually, listen to this, Ryan. I think we're going to use the running game.
Oh, my heavens. I know where you're
going. To open up the passing game.
Oh, it's been a while.
Play action pass. Oh, my – I mean, what? I mean, I really think so. So we could actually have a game where Najee Harris comes out. I think it has a big game. I don't know how many touchdowns, but I think he could have his potentially have his highest yardage total.
Martin, we know Devontae Smith, and, you know, we've debated whether he could walk out of here being the greatest wide receiver in Alabama history.
Yeah, if he left yesterday.
I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. But
big time, big time. Big games, all.
We know Devontae Smith. We know John Metchie. And, you know, the more I watch this young man play, I think he's
he's right there with him.
He's
next up.
Next up, as you said. So, but who's that number three guy? Now, we've heard some good news this week from Matt Zenitz, AL.com, reporting that Jalen Waddle could get that cast off. And, you know, you think about it. I mean, when you get this much of a break, back about a month ago, when you look at that Tennessee game, it was October the 24th. So, you know, it's right at about a month. An elite athlete like Jalen Waddle, when, you know, not saying that he's going to be back because I'm not there yet, but if it was a clean ankle break, then, you know, you might be able to find a way to get him back at the playoffs, especially if you might push some of these things back, and I'm not sure if they will or not, or they won't, but that may be a possibility. But who's that third guy? You've got to find that number three guy, because sometimes you're going to play elite secondaries that's going to take your guys away. Who's going to step up in that?
Well, we assume it has to be a receiver that's that third guy, and that's not the case. I think Slade Bolton showed that he had – here's what I saw. Slade Bolton was not expected to play, Ryan, maybe a couple plays. He had six catches for 94 yards. They did not change the game plan. There was no adjustment to what the game plan was. They put him in there, and they ran the offense against Tennessee as they would normally. There's a whole nother set of things that when it comes to playing and going down when you go through practice and all that. Here's what we're missing. Devontae Smith is just good. Okay?
Smooth.
But why do you think John Metchie and Mac Jones are so on point on deep balls? Because that's who he threw to last year. That's why he was so in touch with Jalen Waddle when he came into the Auburn game last year, because that's the guy he worked with the twos as the number one. That's why Slade Bolden comes in and he's a natural fit. Everybody's forgetting this though, Ryan. Guess who else has been a part of the passing game whose role would increase? Forrestall. You're getting to Forrestall right now as the fourth option. Well, he may be open as the third option. You just don't get to him enough. So don't sell that short. And then don't forget the running back. Don't forget Najee Harris. So you still have five guys who can catch the ball. And the third guy, Bolden, may not be what Metchie was, but I think that also increases more touches for Miller Forrestall and Najee Harris in their passing game. And I think that's how you replace that third guy.
And you look
guy.
At Miller to get that shoulder. It was a nagging shoulder injury that kept, you know, every time he'd get hit. Yeah, so now you kind of give a couple of weeks. And with the great medical staff at the campus of the University of Alabama, with Jeff Allen, Dr. Robinson, Dr. Fowler, the Andrews Sports Clinic, to just work. I mean, they work magic over there. Amazing.
Jeff Allen. love that guy.
Hey, no doubt. Jeff, can I get a little of that magic stuff that you
I think he's been MVP, Ryan. You know, we talk about it being, you know,
point.
Cochran. And so, but he,
well, I mean, look at the look at games that he's got people back.
Hey, do we win the national championship if he doesn't get
Kendrick Lewis?
Drake. Forget the cast back.
Yeah.
I mean, the, you know, the bulletproof cast.
Well,
that
I was
he played
talking
with.
About Terrell Lewis play at Georgia.
Yeah,
he made that forced him a field goal that allowed a touchdown to beat him.
Yeah, I mean, there's several. That's another whole
thank
story.
Thank you, Jeff Allen.
Thank you, Jeff Allen. We love you, Jeff Allen.
You know, we probably talk about more trainers than any other. I mean, and Scott Cochran, see what you could have had. You could have continued to be the hero. Now you're in Athens. Nobody knows your name. Who's that guy from Alabama? Yeah.
But I'm not disappointed with the replacement.
No, I'm not either. Big thanks to Josh. Big thanks to Bryant. That's Martin Houston. Alabama tradition. Martin wakes you up tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. I'll see you at 2. We're closing down Alabama tradition. Roll Tide, everybody.
Southern Owl House, 15,000.